What is going on, everybody? Jamie Shaw here again. Super excited here to start off season two of the Absolute Basketball Podcast. Very excited for you guys to get to listen to today's guest, Appalachian State head coach Dustin Kearns. We get to talk about his growing up within the industry. We get to talk about his team, what he's doing with the program, what he sees for the future of the program, and all that fun stuff. Very excited for that. If you guys would please, before we get into it, go ahead and subscribe to this podcast and rate it 5 stars. That would be great. And then leave in the comment section below what you enjoyed most hearing about Coach Kearns and his path to where he's at right now. But subscribe, rate 5 stars, comment below, all that good stuff. But without further ado, here is Coach Dustin Kearns on the Absolute Basketball Podcast with Jamie Shaw. Season two, now underway. What is going on, everybody? It is Jamie Shaw here, the Absolute Basketball Podcast. Super excited for you guys to get to listen to Appalachian State head coach Dustin Kearns. Very excited to have you on, Dustin. How's it going?
Jamie, always good to talk to you, and it's great to be on this podcast. I know, really appreciate all you do for the game of basketball and growing it and kids in the state of North Carolina especially.
Man, I appreciate that. Went off some stuff in quarantine stuff, but while we're there, let's move and watch some TV shows and stuff. How what books and TV shows and everything able to suggest to us?
Well, I think it's a good question. You know, I think that we've all had our moments of quarantine, and I think that we try to be positive around here. There's been a lot of positive moments as a dad. I'm trying to be in the Dad Hall of Fame. And so as a dad and a husband, this has been a unique time for all of us. And so I've got watched a lot of new Disney shows with my kids, but me and my wife really got into Ozark. We watched Outer Banks. And so normally I don't get into a lot of TV shows, but those two, we knocked those out. We haven't moved on to another one, but I really enjoyed Ozark and Outer Banks.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people watch Ozark and Outer Banks during the quarantine time too. A lot of people have those as well. Growing up, you went to Dobbins-Bennett High School in Kingsport, Tennessee, where basketball is just an absolute passion. Was this kind of ingrained in you growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm very proud of being from Kingsport and playing at Dobbins-Bennett. You know, Dobbins-Bennett ranks first in the country in all-time wins in the high school ranks. And, you know, my dad played there, my brother played there, and then I was fortunate to play there. And you know, still talk to some of my teammates and even coach. My high school coach and I, we exchanged text messages last weekend for probably over an hour. And so, you know, growing up also in that era in Kingsport in Johnson City was East Tennessee State. And at the time in the early 90s was, you know, ranked in the top 25, dominated really during that era of the Southern Conference. And so basketball, you know, during that early 90s, mid-90s era was just so popular and so – probably at its peak in Northeast Tennessee.
And then just as much as a life in Kingsport, so is Pepin to get over to Owls, and what's your normal go-to?
Well, you got to go to Powell's. And so I'm a peach tea, light ice, and then I probably – you got to get some French fries. And then my normal go-to is probably a chipped ham with cheese.
I got you.
The tea there, I'm going to get a half and half. I'm going to get a peach tea. You know, I'm not leaving there without a tea. And every now and then I'll throw a Dr. Enough on there, which is what I did a couple weeks ago when we went back home. I got a Dr. Enough on the way back out of town.
Absolutely. That's one of those ones that you always have to go when you come in town. You always have to go when you go out of town.
Absolutely.
What type of player were you?
You know, I was the kind of player that gets a coach fired, Jamie. And so, you know, I think that, you know, fortunately, you know, one of my players asked me, why'd you get into coaching? Fortunately, people get into coaching because we all realize that our playing days are over. But, you know, I was fortunate to play, you know, with some great teammates, some really good players at a really good program. But, you know, just a – your average high school player, but just love the game, you know, all about the team and fortunate to be on some good teams there.
So you've risen relatively quickly to get where you're at right now. You know, you're a student assistant at Clemson and graduated in 02, and you get right on as a Dobo at Tennessee Tech. Was coaching kind of always what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I loved coaching, and I mean, I wanted to, and so one of the reasons I went to Clemson is Clemson was recruiting one of my high school teammates. We went to team camp there in high school, and I just fell in love with it when we were down there. I'd never been there, and so Rick Barnes was the head coach at the time, and then my high school coach had talked to their staff and told them I wanted to be in the coaching and stuff like that. So, but then Rick Barnes went to Texas, and just so thankful and glad I still went there because Larry Scheid is an incredible mentor, an incredible person. And I learned so much from him and still learned. And, you know, he had a great staff with Matt Driscoll and, you know, just, I was able to just get spoiled really with, wow, these are incredible people who, you know, helped me get my start there. And, you know, I went around working basketball camps every summer, and I went to Kentucky, you know, four or five times when Tubby Smith was the coach there. And Mike Sutton ran the camps, and then he got the job at Tennessee Tech, and he called me before I even graduated from Clemson. And so I had a job there before I graduated, and I went to Tennessee Tech during exam week and worked, tried to find a place to live, came back and graduated, got in the car the next day, drove back to Cookeville and started off my coaching career. But yeah, this is a labor of love and no different than what you're doing. And certainly very fortunate and humbled to be a part of it.
Earlier, you mentioned Dobbins Bennett, a history and tradition that it has on the basketball floor. Growing up in Kingsport, what were some influences that led to really get into coaching, or who were some of them?
Yeah. You know, certainly, you know, Buck Van Hus is a legendary coach up there, and he passed away in 1990. But, you know, just, you know, up in that area, you had several coaches that had won 1,000 games. You know, George Pitts at Science Hill at the time, who just retired from King and won so many state championships. It was just really a hotbed for prep hoops. So many great players came out of that area at that time and went on to play college basketball. But I don't know if I could single one person out, but just it was just the thing to do at that, you know, growing up was, you know, high school basketball, going to games. And you know, we had games moved over to Freedom Hall with Science Hill. And you know, it was just an exciting time, but, you know, certainly not anyone in particular.
And on staff, you've worked with coaches, as you said, like Larry Scheid, Mike Young, Buzz Peterson, and even Kerry Keating at Santa Clara. What did you take away from each of these guys to help you in your journey to get who you are as a coach now?
Yeah, a lot. And that I'll try to just summarize it real quickly. And so I was in very, very fortunate to work for some great people. And obviously great coaches, but just great people. You know, Mike Young hired me from a GA at Spotted Tennessee, and I didn't know him. And, you know, sometimes, hey, you got to know someone. I didn't know Mike Young. I was fortunate enough to be in an interview of one of five people he interviewed, and was fortunate enough to get the job. And he's been an incredible, you know, mentor. He has such a special way about him as a coach to eliminate entitlement from everybody in the program. And, you know, I learned so much from him in those regards. Obviously, he's a terrific basketball coach. But he has an incredible pulse on his players and team at the right time. And what just really knows what his team needs on and off the court. You know, Buzz Peterson, very successful coach, you know, just really learned a lot from him at my short time at Tennessee, and just the daily recruiting and just, you know, how it's got to be, you know, so many lessons there, but like almost like it's shaving. If you don't, you know, recruiting's like shaving. If you don't do it every day, you're going to start looking a little rough. And so, you know, Buzz was a relentless recruiter and his staff. Kerry Keating, no different. Kerry Keating was an assistant at Tennessee when I was a GA there. And then he went to UCLA and had a unique opportunity to go out west and be with him at Santa Clara. And we had some very good seasons there, but learned, you know, competing against Gonzaga and BYU and St. Mary's, just the Kerry was a very detailed and organized coach. And I really learned a lot from him in those regards. Larry Scheid, just so incredibly humble. You know, here's an ACC head coach. Here's a guy who went to Florida, won two national championships. Here's a guy who went to the NBA with the Dallas Mavericks, but he's still trying to learn today. I just learned from him, just never be satisfied with where you're at. Always continue to grow. There's always so much to learn. And, you know, always try to just help people. He's incredible about just help so many former players. He called me a couple weeks ago about trying to help a former player that he coached in 2004 get into coaching. Like, he's just, those are the type of people I've been very, very fortunate to be around.
And then you mentioned Larry Hyatt speaking. This isn't a question specifically, but it seems like in the coaching profession, there's so many people who have a shy idea with Brownell, whatever it was. Clemson's putting out a ton of coaching. What do you think about that? That really develops success in the basketball coaching world.
You cut out. I'm sorry.
I said, Clemson, if you look at a lot of basketball coaches throughout the country, a lot of them have Clemson on the resume, be it Shiat or Purnell or Brownell, whomever, whichever one. A lot of successful coaches come through the Clemson program. What do you think it is about Clemson? What do you think it is about that program that just breeds successful basketball coaches?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, Clemson's it's a special place, special people. But I think there at Clemson, you've got to be a little bit, out of the box, a little bit thinker. And so it's probably just always had a lot of just great coaches. Obviously, Rick Barnes did a good job there too. Coach Shiat, Coach Purnell, Coach Brunell, like you said, very successful coaches. But, you know, you've got to really be a coach's coach there. And, you know, be a little innovative in being out has probably allowed those guys to be successful.
Well, and two, I guess my question was more so assistant coaches that those guys have had, yourself, Shaka, Will Wade, Matt Driscoll, you know, even further assistant coaches, J.D. Powell, Trey Meyer, et cetera, tons of talented coaches have come through the ranks there underneath those guys. It was kind of the direction I was headed with that. What is it about that, do you think?
Yeah, I think that, there was an article 4 or 5 years ago about that and just how many guys have came through there. And I contributed to that, and I was quoted on that saying, I just think that at the school, there's just a lot of great people who really care about the development of young people. Mm-hmm. And I think that there you've had people in the administration, you've had people within that program that really just had a love for the coaching profession and developing. I think it's unique and I think it's special, but it's there's been a nice tradition of truly coaches that are trying to help coaches. And I'm sure there's other places like that, but I think I agree with you. Clemson is a place where it's certainly stood out a little bit more with guys that have gotten in the coaching profession, and there's a lot. And so I agree. It's hard to put your finger on it, but I really just look back in the rearview mirror and think, okay, why did this? And I just think that there's a lot of people in the administration in that quote family that are just truly great mentors and really want to help young people. And I think it's almost as simple as that.
Yeah. People think of Clemson as a football school, and rightfully so. What Dabo's done with the program has been unbelievable. But the amount of basketball talent, the coaching ranks that comes through there is pretty substantial.
No doubt. Absolutely.
So in 2017, you took the job at Presbyterian. They were coming off of a 5-win season. What drew you to the opportunity in Clinton, South Carolina?
Yeah, and so I didn't want to just be a head coach just to be one, right? I wanted to be a good one. And so I felt prepared, fortunately, by working with Mike Young and others to take that opportunity. I felt like it was a fit. You know, I think in recruiting and coaching, we talk about fit all the time. And it was just truly a fit for me coming from Wofford, a small liberal arts college in the upstate, right down the road was a small liberal college in the upstate in Presbyterian. And I felt like looking at Presbyterian, it was Wofford when I went there in 2004, school that had just transitioned to Division I. And this needed a little life into the program, a little spark. And so I felt like it was just a fit for me and my family. And so I also just feel like you got to bloom where you're planted. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that, You can't be in coaching or in the player world to you know, like we always said all the time, just, you know, go where you're wanted, you know, to players that, you know, don't, you know, I felt like just similar situation of Presbyterian, just go where you're wanted and let's roll our sleeves up and let's go to work and let's bloom where you're planted. And fortunately there, you know, in our second year, we won 20 games and went to the Elite Eight of the CIT, but through the work of a lot of people. And fortunately we, you know, had some high character guys already there.
And as you mentioned, you know, you took over a 5-win team, and in 2 years at Presbyterian, you increased from 5 wins to 11 years in year one, and then from 11 years to, or from 11 wins to 20 wins in year two with an Elite Eight appearance in the postseason tournament. How would you describe your time at Presbyterian and what you did for that program?
Well, I was just a small part of it. I mean, I think there was a lot of work by a lot of people, but I feel like, you know, anytime you go anywhere, you want to leave it better than you found it. And I feel like we the program was, you know, in good shape, and we got some North Carolina kids, we got some Georgia kids, and I thought our staff did a really good job of developing and helping the kids that were there. We inherited some good players, Devon Bell and J.C. Younger and some Romeo Crouch and things like that, and then we were able to bring in some guys to mix in. But, you know, people don't talk about how good the Big South was last year. I mean, it was – or 2 years ago, it was the 19th best conference, which is the highest it's ever been. And you had Chris Clemens, the guys at Radford, you know, Christian Keat. I mean, I could keep on going. I know I'm leaving some out, but, like, Winthrop, holy smokes. Like, it was just – it was a tremendous – there's really, really good coaches. Guys at Gardner-Webb, I mean, there's really, really good coaches in the Big South. And really good players, and so we were fortunate to be good in a good league, and certainly we feel, you know, very proud about what we were able to do there.
So moving forward now, you're at App State.
Yeah, that's way better.
Good deal. So moving forward, you top four off of last year's team. Three of your top six coming back, which includes four returning assist guy. How do you feel about what you have returning next season?
Well, we certainly like our returners. We're bringing in, I think, 7 new players. So we got to, you know, it's going to take a while to, you know, mesh it all together. But we do have some really good, you know, returners: Justin Forrest, Adrian Delph, Donovan Gregory, Kendall Lewis, you know, James Lewis. And then we talked about, you know, earlier we redshirted RJ Wilson from Leesville Road. And so we've got some experienced guys who play a lot, and then we're bringing in, you know, certainly some guys that will mesh well with them. But we look, you know, certainly, you know, really excited about the direction we're headed here at App State, you know, ending an 8-year losing streak in year one and winning 18 games. And we were going to go to the postseason this year, but, you know, obviously no one did. But we're really excited to keep getting guys that – you know, come to the gym every day and, you know, cheer for each other and you know, really get the, you know, the day-to-day atmosphere that we really like here and the standards and expectations.
And we mentioned Justin Forrest, leading returning scorer, leading returner and all that stuff. Touch on him a little bit, what he means to the program and what he is as a player.
Yeah, so I think Justin is a guy that I think he had a really good season last year. You know, we changed his position a little bit. We're a positionless style offense, but we moved him to be a primary ball handler, and I think that helped him. And so, you know, I think he had, you know, the best year he'd had in assists and steals and rebounds and certainly points. And so now it's challenging him to be even more of a complete player and also improve those things, how to be more efficient, you know, on the free throw line. And draw. He's really, really good at drawing fouls. He is a very high intellect basketball player. He's very smart, knows how to play, has a really good way of able to retain information. And so he's a good player. And certainly we're excited to help keep and expanding his game and make it even better.
And then, as you mentioned before, you're bringing in seven new players. Let's start with the four freshmen that you have, guard Xavier Brown, guard Michael Eads, and then forward C.J. Huntley and Alexander Glushkov. What can you tell us about these guys that you have coming in this class?
Yeah, so we wanted to balance it out a little bit. We've got also a grad transfer, one junior college kid, and then we took a transfer from James Madison. But certainly want to build a program, and getting freshmen in your program helps build that. And so, you know, Xavion's an extremely athletic kid from California, just a fit for what we're about and who we are. Wanted to get away from home. And so sometimes kids just want to get away from home. I mean, I know some kids in this state that just want to get – and so Xavion was a kid that wanted to get away from home, just provides incredible length. And he's got a great feel for the game, incredible passer. Michael Eads is a kid we identified early last summer as a guy that we really thought fit us. Shoots the ball extremely, extremely well. Good size on the perimeter at 6'5", good ball skills. And he's going to help us a lot in just the area to stretch the floor. C.J. Huntley is a kid that from Charlotte, another kid we identified early, first weekend, we had him up on a visit. Tremendous family. Sisters wanted to play volleyball at Virginia Tech. But CJ is a guy that we signed at 6'9", and right now he's 7 feet. But he is extremely skilled. He has an incredible high ceiling, but just a guy that can stretch the floor and shoot to three at six at 7 feet. But also just really a face-up guy that just has got a great feel for the game, won a state championship, really well coached by Ron Johnson down there, Davidson David. CJ's a guy that we really, as a staff, targeted and went after. Sasha's a guy we signed late, who also won a state championship up in Virginia Blue Ridge, and Kate Lemke, very well coached. Sasha's a guy that we like because he's very process-oriented. He's a guy that really is about the process and really wants to get better and develop. And he's a guy that we feel like that his skill set fits us, and another guy we're really excited about.
And then also you have RJ Duhart, Deshaun Parker, Michael Almany coming in as transfers from various areas. How do you feel about those guys and how will they come in and impact the program?
Yeah, so once again, we wanted to balance it out a little bit. We didn't want seven freshmen. We didn't want seven juniors. Deshaun Parker started 50 games at James Madison. He's a guy that we recruited out at Presbyterian, one of his first offers out of high school, and so there was a relationship there. And just a complete player, leader, alpha male personality. He's a guy that we really – you know, love his personality, and he's a very experienced player, average 11 game all freshman team in the Colonial. So that'll be a good experience in setting out. Michael Almanazzi is a guy that started at Stony Brook. There was a coaching change. Went and really played really well at Division II basketball at Southern New Hampshire and averaged 16 a game, shot over 40% from three. And so once again, tried to feel like let's balance out the classes a little bit. And so that gives us to have two seniors with him and Forrest, but it also gives us another primary ball handler in the backcourt. And then RJ Duhart, 6'9", from Florida, a guy, a qualifier. And he's a guy that we really targeted early in the junior college ranks, athletic, skilled, very good player. And he was a guy that as a head coach, it's sometimes hard to get out during the season, and especially unless it's – but I flew all the way – to see him in Mississippi at the junior college. He's from South Florida and a guy that we really prioritized and had on a visit in early February. And RJ Duhart will be a sophomore. And so a lot of things to like about him and his game. So we feel like we got some things balanced out a little bit with the roster. And once again, we're trying to build a program, not a team. And I feel like that, feel like that's what we really put in thought with our program.
So last year, y'all ended up 18-15. As you said, you would be going to a postseason, play in the postseason had it been had.
with seven newcomers this year, integrating with the guys coming back and success you've had coming back, what can we expect from this year's team?
You know, I don't know. I wish I had the answer for you a little bit there. You know, we were going to take a foreign tour this year with so many new guys, and we postponed that for another year. And so that would have given us a really head start. We just started voluntary workouts today. And so getting guys back on campus, but we you know, I feel like we've got a lot of depth. I feel like we've got some shooting. I feel like we've got extreme length and athleticism. And we finished second in the Sun Belt in defense last year, and hopefully we've got some more length and size to help us finish first there. But, you know, I definitely like our depth and skill set, ball handling, ball skills, and shooting.
And every coach wants their team to have an identity. What is a Dustin Kearns coached Appalachian State's team identity?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think that I definitely want our team to be fighters. And so when you step on the floor with App State, I hope that you feel like you're in for a fight. And I think that I ask our team this a lot, and I don't think we're there yet. We've got ways to go. But do you hate playing App State? That's where I want to get to with our identity. Do you hate playing App State? And because we're just tough and blue collar and diving on the loose ball on the floor, and we're going to fight you. We're going to get down. Now, that's basketball, but, you know, are we going to come back and fight? And so each year I did it at Presbyterian, and I did it, you know, here at App State. I showed our team a video of a rat fighting cats. And at the end of the video, your team's kind of looking at you crazy, right? Like, what is this all about, coach? And I said, well, what do y'all see? And you see something ugly, you see something small, but you see a fighter. And you see this little old rat fight off three big cats, and those cats want nothing to do with this guy. And I said, that's what I want our team to look like. Like, we might not be the, you know, the biggest or the prettiest or, you know, the strongest, but we're going to fight you. And so I hope that becomes our identity, and hope we're moving in that direction.
And you mentioned that you start voluntary workouts today. Obviously, these last 3-4 months, we have been out, and you haven't been able to have your hands on the players at all. For a coach who loves development, and from a staff who likes development so much of the players and stuff, how did you get through this quarantine?
Well, I trust our players. Okay, I trust our guys, and throughout this quarantine, I told them, hey, listen, I know you guys are about the right stuff, so I'm not going to hold your hand. We're not going to be doing Zoom workouts, and so everybody can see, like, I trust you, and I know you guys are working, and seeing some of them, I know they've been working. You can tell by their bodies, and getting guys that just love the game. But you know, we've been getting through it just by a week at a time. I've told our staff, and listen, it's hard to plan, it's hard to project. So let's just go a week at a time, and we want to lead the league in player relationships. We talked about that as a staff a lot. Like, we want to lead the league in player relationships. And so we spent a lot of time. We did mystery guests on Zooms, and kind of had guys, you know, guest speakers come in and talk. And that was really, you know, neat and cool for our guys. But once again, we just kind of took a week at a time.
And then now with voluntary workout starting today and stuff, you've obviously got a plan in place for how to integrate back into the year and into the season and stuff. Kind of what type of plans and precautions and everything do y'all have in place getting toward the season?
Yeah, so towards this, you know, I think right now we did testing, you know, with our players. And so we brought them to campus and we've tested them. And so we're still waiting on some of the results from the test. But the guys that have gotten their test results back are able to do voluntary lifts today and voluntary shooting. And then the NCAA is set a July 20th date for when we can get back on the court with them and do workouts. And so that'll enter kind of a new phase. But we're not playing pickup right now. We're not doing anything like that. And so there's different phases to it. I think, first of all, we want to take things slow and make sure we're being safe and making sure we're taking things, you know, being most healthy for our players. But I've told them that, you know, we've got to all be, you know, certainly patient and follow the rules and protocols in this process.
And then, you know, obviously being a successful mid-major, it's hard to schedule as it is with the uncertainty kind of coming in with this season moving forward. How tough has it been to schedule games and get your schedule full this year?
Very tough. I think that You know, certainly just with COVID has changed some things with, you know, we travel a lot in the Sun Belt. So we've tried to stay local with the non-conference anyway, but even that, you know, it's just, it's challenging. And so we've got some exciting series, we've got some exciting games, but it's I think it's been a challenge for everybody. So like I said, I think the challenges that we've had, and then you combine that with the challenges everybody else has had with each other's administration and restrictions and things like that. It's just, I think it's made it challenging for everybody, but it's still a work in progress. We're not finished with it. And I don't anticipate getting finished anytime soon either. I just think that we, you know, it's one of those things we'll keep coming together, but, you know, certainly it's certainly been a challenge.
And wrapping things up here, I'm a quotes guy. I'm a sayings guy. Do you have any sayings or quotes or mantras kind of that you press not only within your life, but also within the basketball program or both?
Yeah. We've got to take the stairs here. And so, you know, I feel like that, you know, and what we mean by that is it's not literally taking the stairs. It's a mentality. It's, you know, 95% of the people in the world are going to take the escalator, the elevator, if they've got a choice. And so most people, quote, we always say to our team, most people want it easy. We don't. We're going to take the stairs around here. We're going to work. We're going to put the work in, and we're going to fall in love with the process. But yeah, we certainly take the stairs mentality. And, you know, I think that's always got something to kind of, you know, hang your hat on in a way as far as what we're about. But we've got a big sign in our locker room, a huge sign. I mean, just massive. And I didn't put a ton of signs in the locker room. I wanted them kind of simple and unique, and I want our guys to know them. But it says, we don't become you, you become us. And certainly that is a big deal of what we are. When we get guys that, you know, I think any good organization is very selective with who they have in within their team, just like no different professional sports when they're drafting someone in the draft. They're doing their homework. And so, you know, our guys know, and everybody knows when we get here, hey, listen, we don't become you, you become us. And certainly that's I think that's what is a big deal, getting guys that fit.
And what is it about Appalachian State, about Boone, North Carolina, that is so special? That'll bring the top talent from around the state and the region to come play there and win there and have success there?
Well, it's a great college town. It's just a great time to be a Mountaineer. It's beautiful. There's tremendous support, over 100,000 living alumni. And so I'm sure you see it daily where you're at. You're going to see an A sticker on a car. It's just a powerful brand. I think we've got great leadership here. It's a great school. You know, it's the second most applied school in the state of North Carolina behind Chapel Hill. And so this is a place that's really, you know, we've got 20,000 students. We've got top-notch facilities that are only getting better. And I really feel like we've got everything that everybody else has got. They might have more of it, but we've at least got it, and from resources. So I really feel like that, with just the surrounding area, the education, it's the Sun Belt's tremendous league, by the way. I mean, the Sun Belt was the 13th best league this year out of 32. And it's pretty consistent there, but just, you know, it's just a great time to be a Mountaineer.
Absolutely. And in wrapping things up here, is there anything that you want to leave fans with, or leave future prospects possibly with, or anybody who might be listening to this podcast? Is there anything that you want to leave them with?
Well, I just think that, you know, what we're about, we're a developmental program, we're relationship-based, and we want guys to look back on their time and say, I'd do it all over again. I would choose App State again because of their experience. You know, you can't take buildings and arenas with you when you leave there, but what you can take are the relationships with your coaches and teammates. Those stuff lasts forever. And so, you know, for us, we're a no entitlement, you know, appreciative program, and we play the right way, and we play for each other, and we're about the team. And so at the end of the day, we're going to try to pull greatness out of individuals every day, but we're going to have high standards, But we're addicted to the process and the day-to-day atmosphere of balance. It's a game. It's a game. Basketball is a game. And so if it's a game, it's got to be an element of fun. I do think that our guys enjoy coming to the gym every day. I do think our guys enjoy playing the game.
DK, it's been awesome catching up, man. We've been knowing each other for a while. It's been great to see your trajectory going from, you know, head assistant coach to head coach and the success that you've had. And I cannot wait to see the success that the future brings for you.
Jamie, much respect to you. Known you a long time. You keep getting better and better. I just think that there's a few select people that love to grow the game and help young people. As we were talking about earlier about helping young people, you help young people and their families. And so I got great respect for the job you do. You're a worker. You're like us. You take the stairs every day. You're a worker. You get after it. And so really an honor to be on your podcast, and I appreciate your friendship.
Man, absolutely. I thank you very much for that. And guys, make sure y'all check out everything Dustin Kearns has going. Make sure you check him out. What Appalachian State has, it's a fun environment. He's building something special out there in the mountains. So make sure you check it out. And thank you all for checking in to the Absolute Basketball Podcast. For Dustin Kearns, I am Jamie Shaw, and we will see you next time.